Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Wednesday to everyone, wherever you're joining me from. I am your host, Dynamic Daphne, and as always, I am so grateful that you have made the decision to listen to this show. Whether you are listening via the archives, whether you're listening in the chat room, on the phone, on your computers, wherever you are, I still express gratitude for your support. This morning, you remember 2 weeks ago, I had a phenomenal woman on, Mrs. Pepper Miller, who is the author of a new book called Black Still Matters in Marketing. This is such a phenomenal book, and I've been reading it since then, and I was not able to confirm a guest for today's show. So what I decide to do is to do a book discussion from Pepper's book. And so if you are in the midst of reading the book, I encourage you to call in and let's talk about this amazing book. If you have not yet picked your copy up, when you go to the show site, you can see it. It's right there in the promotion, and you can pick it up as well. But this is a must have, a must read for all of us as entrepreneurs, especially if you are a Black entrepreneur. It is going to work for everyone because everyone utilizes the Black and the support and resource that they bring to business. So I want to encourage you to get the book. I'm looking forward to have her back on the show. However, I want us to do this discussion this morning along with a couple other things that I am going to be doing to make sure we are getting the best. Also, on the promotion of my radio site, you will see another book called Celebrating 365 Days of Gratitude. That's one of the books that I am a contributing author, and I encourage you to pick a copy of that up as well. Before we go into the discussion this morning, I will be sharing today's gratitude piece for the, as a matter of fact, I'm going to read the 22nd of May, which was yesterday, and today, the 23rd of May. So I'm actually going to be sharing two pieces for you. I'm very excited because my new blog, which is going to be supporting the radio show, will be live by next week, and you're going to have an opportunity to take advantage of my three top picks each week. I'm going to pick out three of the top shows that I have done, and you can get advantage to see what I think were the top ones, and then you can give me feedback on what your thoughts were on my selection. And I'll be featuring different guests on the blog as well. I'm very excited about it, and I just am looking forward to having that go live. And also, if you are interested in the work, in supporting the work that I do, I ask for your contribution and donation. And you can email me via the radio site here or send me a message, and I will tell you how you can do that. We appreciate your support and your donations because we are looking to do some other things, which is going to be expecting for us to invest a large sum of money. So we really look forward to your support in giving us your financial donation. You know that we are on the air right now. We are on the air twice a week on Wednesdays between the hours of 10 a.m. and 12 noon. And on this segment, we support, or we focus rather on the education, inspiration, and empowerment of entrepreneurs and small business people. You know, you have a story of how you're doing what you're doing, why you're doing what you're doing. Yeah, just reach out to me. Let's talk about it. And if you are a match, I can offer you some airtime here on the A New Day show. Then on Sunday evenings at 7 p.m., the focus of that show is around overcoming adversities, any other life-altering situation and stories that you encounter, yet you are here to share that experience with others. We want to hear about it because we would like to have you as part of our show. Now, on this Sunday coming up, we are having someone, Leila Youssef, out of Spain, and we will be discussing how communication impacts intimacy. And that should really be a hot topic because there are many people who are missing intimacy in their lives. And she's going to give us some professional insights on why this has happened and how we can alter or modify that. So I look forward to seeing you join us on Sunday at 7 p.m. So again, if you think you have a story, I want to hear from you. And if you're just joining me, we are going to be doing a book discussion on Pepper Miller's new book, Black Still Matters in Marketing. So the number to call in is 646-915-8166. The chat room is open. If you are reading the book, we want to hear from you. We want your input. So join us. Give us your commitment, involvement, insight, and input into this extremely, extremely energetic title. So, as I mentioned, I want to share with you from celebrating 365 days of gratitude. And I am going to be sharing from May 22nd and also from May 23rd. The May 22nd piece is written by Morgana Morgain. And this title says, Bananas Has No Bones. So I get up in front of groups all the time. Sometimes it's Baptist, sometimes it's Rotary, sometimes it's nurses, God bless them. Sometimes it's teachers, God bless them twice. And sometimes it's the frozen chosen. The term at Presbyterian told me described herself and her fellow Presby brethren. I am invited to rekindle memories of how to laugh and how to play. I want you to picture solemn folks, one and all, in polyester suits and a hair hurricane proof with gel or hairspray. Tidy people, regular folks, one and all, just trying to do it right. People totally wedded, committed, vowed to seriousness. Out comes my bag of tricks. Red noses, peacock feathers, bubble wands, and songs about bananas have no bones. And before long, all these feverishly fatigued adults turned into laughing fools, clapping because now they believe in fairies like Peter Pan. Balancing peacock feathers on their noses, to the strains of wistful parishioner accordions, grown-ups no more. I am deeply grateful to participate in such magic days after days with fellow humans so eager to be cut some slack, some eager to let go and just have some uproarious fun. Embarrassment be damned. And as I mentioned, that's from Morgana Morgaine. The piece for today is written by Tom Buford. It's great to be grateful. I am grateful for my beautiful bride, my better half, and the love of my life. I am grateful for an incredible supportive family that will always be by my side. I am grateful for the wonderful friends whom I consider family. I am grateful to have a roof over my head, food in my kitchen, and a bed to sleep in. I am grateful to have the health, experiences, and wisdom to contribute to this incredible project. I am grateful to have the sight to read it and the sight to learn from others are grateful for. And that's just two of the contribution to celebrating 365 days of gratitude. I encourage you to pick up your copy and to make sure that you have it to support you on your everyday journey. As I mentioned, I'm going to be doing the book discussion, but based on what I have been reading, I know that there is a wealth of information in there for you, and I encourage you to write it down. Write it down. There's a book. Write It Down and Make It Happen by Henriette Ann Clouser. Knowing what you want and getting it. Write it down and make it happen. So, as I go through here today and as I read, I want for you to remember to write the things down that applies to you and the things that you are interested in. Yes, there is chapter 18 in that book speaks about letting go, creating balance. Besides introducing the element of ritual to writing it down and make it happen, what intrigued me about Elaine's story was the concept and willingness to let go. It added a component to the process that I had not been considering. The Native American tradition Elaine described included not only asking for what you want in life, but also relinquishing what you do not want. What you are ready to give up in the book, letting this living the simple life. Elaine recommends that when you bring in something new, you throw out something or give away something old. The new toy for your children, give an old one to Goodwill. New kitchen utensils, throw out one you don't use. New book, go through your shelves and pick a book to pass to a friend. Create room for the new by letting go of what you no longer use. Mark Victor Hansen of Chicken Soup for the Soul. Fame has a ritual idea that I tried once and it worked. He suggested tagging with post-it notes every piece of clothing in your closet with numbers 1 to 10, with 1 being love it, wear it all the time, and 10 being I'll never wear it again unless I am invited to a richer costume party. Work fast on the tagging. Don't stop to sentimentalize. Then go back and throw out or donate to charity or friends or preschool or dress up everything higher than three. At first, your closet will look barren and bare bones. Guess what? That's your core wardrobe anyway. Here's the magic part. Within a few months, your closet will be full again. Only this time, with only 1, 2, 3s. In other words, it will be filled with clothes you actually wear. If you are like me, you won't even remember buying them. So, it's not as though you suddenly went on a spending spree and have a big dig in your clothing budget. Instead, you look up one day and it hits you that your closet is full again and you stop to sort it out. Where did all these clothes come from? Perhaps the sweater was a gift from a friend. The pants on sale caught your eyes one day at the mall when you were there. Buying a present for someone else, you hardly registered the casual outfit you tossed in your shopping cart when buying in bulk at the discount warehouse. The point is that by being willing to throw out what was not working in your closet, you surreptitiously made room for something new and better. Something that works. The wonder is what it happens subtly. Even as Mark Victor promised it would. The analogy is clear. In life, we often need to be willing to rid of the old, that which no longer serves us, to make room for, to prepare for the new. Over the years, I have taken many human effectiveness personal development type seminars. Consistently, they begin with various variations on the same challenge. To answer for yourself before you even begin to work the three questions, like the mythology courting test. Why did you come? What do you hope to gain? What are you willing to sacrifice? It was that last one that always got to me. I did not like the idea that I had to give up in order to get. Now, I understand the power of the principles across the board. In everything from cleaning the clutter to the attic, in getting rid of relationships that no longer support you, to make room for those that do. A wise teacher once told me, before a master means willingness to let go of whatever isn't working in your life, letting go of the familiar is hard. Relinquishing what isn't working is tied to taking responsibility of your life. The black arrow of the arrow ceremony, burned or buried at the low ground, thus create a balance and let you take responsibility for your life. They are a declaration to the world that you are moving out of the victim stance and taking ownership and action. Soon after, you might find yourself changing your behavior to subtle ways, and you do not at first realize all connected to your request. Elaine, for example, for her book Inner Simplicity, came up with a visual measurement method for combating prisms. It is based on the ancient Chinese ritual with pebbles, but Elaine substituted beans, one bean in a cup for each negative thought you have during the day. At the end of the day, look at the once empty cup and see how many negative thoughts you've had. It's a graphic message to your subconscious. It's a way to track your mind, forcing you to get to the habit of starting to recognize negative thoughts when it comes up. It took a while for Elaine to connect the black beans trick. She was recommending to others and was then doing herself with the fact that she had buried an arrow on which she had written, "I wanted to rid of worry and negative thinking. It wasn't until I looked back and realized all the things I had done to get rid of negative thinking, like affirmations, the black bean system, and writing it out in my journal. If I had a situation in my life that was creating a lot of negative thinking, then I remember the arrow wish." Reaching a deep level. At first, it seems like a contradiction, But sometimes the things we need to let go of is the very thing we want. Gloria met her mate only after she began to entertain the vision of what it would be like not to have this man in her life. I had to be willing to not get what I most dreamed of. Later, she told me a story about two friends of hers who tried unsuccessfully for several years to adopt a baby. Finally, Gloria suggested to them that they do what she did and write a letter to their unknown child. They did that for about a year, and their writing taught them something. They came to a place of peace. They told Gloria, "We recognize that we were a couple, a family, even without this baby." 3 days later, they got their baby. Now you start with your closet to give yourself an experience of how freeing it can be to let go. As a visual example of how holding on to something no longer useful to you is standing in the way of making room for what you want. Armed with a pen and a pad of post-its and using the approach described above, quickly label every garment in your wardrobe with a sticky note, number 1 to 10. Then give away or throw out any item higher than 3. Before you know it, you will have new outfits hanging there, clothes you like and actually wear. I guarantee it. Let that be a lesson for your life, especially if you are stuck in achieving a long-term goal. Write on slips of paper the things that are not working in your life, of which you are willing to let go. Ceremoniously dispose of the slips one by one. You could build a fire on the beach and purposely cast them individually into the flames. Consign them to drowning in the lake or river, over the side of the boat, or flush them down the toilet. I have never personally done this, but a friend tells me it is enormously satisfying. Perhaps you could put this slip inside a helium balloon and let them float away to the sky. Release like captured birds let out of their cage and sent heavenward with a blessing. Whatever it is that is holding you back, be willing to let go of what you want. In the Hindu scripture, the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna that it is the surrender of attachment to result that brings serenity. Through writing, you will come to that plateau of peace. Rest there for a while, for something exciting is about to happen. All right, if you're just joining me, I am getting ready to go into the book discussion, Black Still Matters in Marketing.
SuperFastLinkBuilding.com. The biggest challenge for business owners and entrepreneurs like you is getting your site to show up on the first page of a Google search. It's been reported that Google often changes their search reporting methods multiple times in the same day. That's why you can't use just any search optimization company. The SEO company that you choose has to think fast and move even faster. At SuperFastLinkBuilding.com, we've designed and developed a unique system to start positioning your site closer to the top. Our complex system of websites and blogs, along with our proprietary algorithms, are pushing our clients' sites to page one every day. Your site will never rise on its own. You've got to do something about it. Subscribe today. SuperFastLinkBuilding.com.
Hello and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen, get over to drdaphne.in right now and get your advertisement for only $10 placed on the International Bulletin Board. That's right, for only $10, you can have your message seen by our thousands of listeners. So get over there right now, drdaphne.in. We thank you for listening to the show, and we will continue with it now. Have a great day.
All right, so the lines are open up, waiting for your call, 646-915-8166. And before we start on this book discussion, I want to just, for those of you who have not yet picked the book up, I just want to run down all these, the topics here for you in the different chapters, so you can see that this is really worth your while to own this book and have it in your library. Chapter 1 deals with the profitability, the invisible middle. And you heard Pepper and I spoke about that from the late Herb Kemp. Then we go on to Chapter 2, is the dynamics of Black consumer market. Then we have Chapter 3, Black America Today. It's still a different world. Chapter 4, Black Gold, Finding the Mother Lode Hidden in Plain Sight. Chapter 5, Another Opportunity, Wellness Matters. Chapter 6, Under the Radar, Black Immigrant and Black Biracial by J.P. James. Chapter 7, Under the Radar, The Black LGBT Community by Reginald Osburn. Then we have in Chapter 8, Under the Radar, Black Men. Chapter 9, Under the Radar, Black Baby Boomers. Chapter 10, Under the Radar, Black Women by Sarah Latimer. Then we have in Chapter 11, Under the Radar, Blacks and the Green Movement. Chapter 12, Making the Connection. Chapter 13, Black Media Matters. All Rules Don't Apply. And that's by Pepper Miller and Kevin Walker. Chapter 14, Research Must Be Relevant. Chapter 15, Blacks in Advertisement. And Chapter 16, Why Black Still Matters. So I encourage you to go out there and pick this book up. This is a must read for all of us. A must read for all of us. And I want to start this morning in chapter, I'm going to start reading in chapter 4. Because when Pepper was on, I think we discussed up to chapter 3. So we are going to go into chapter 4 this morning. And then we're going to take it from there. So I expect and appreciate, rather, you calling in if you are also reading the book, so we can share our insight into to what we are reading here. And all right, so here we go. Reading from chapter 13 in Black Still Matters in Marketing. Black Gold, finding the mother lode hidden in plain sight. Imagine waking up each day, and from the second you leave your home, everywhere you go, there is gold just lying around, waiting to be picked up. And yet, you just walk by. Gold is everywhere you go. Work, stores and malls, restaurants, movies, school, the park. It is everywhere. And still you walk right past it, never stopping to pick up a nugget you barely even look at as you go about your day. Impossible, you say. Yet, despite the growth of the black population, it's a $1 trillion plus spending power. Marketers ignore or take for granted the patronage of their businesses by blacks. They are ignoring a potential gold rush of customers. However, the growing influence of blacks is stimulating demand for a variety of products and services not traditionally linked to the black community. That is hard to ignore. Here are some examples of increased demand among blacks. In 2009, new and used car sales were up 22% and 37% respectively from 2007. There have been significant gains in the U.S. and international travel by blacks who spend more than $5 billion annually on travel. Blacks are more likely to be early adopters of new technologies. They are more likely to own a smartphone, 31 versus 27% for whites. And their spending for computers and peripherals are up to 171% in 2009 over 2007. There is an increased demand for books written by black authors featuring black characters. Annual expenditures by African Americans on health and beauty aids are estimated at around $9 billion. Because looking good is a priority for many African Americans. How one looks is a powerful statement of what one is all about. Although 17.5% of African Americans are unbanked or underbanked, this segment provides opportunity for a new financial bank. Like segment provides opportunities for new financial products and services that can serve people where they are. Nonetheless, as these industries continue to search for bigger ideas and opportunities, the Black community continues to be underserved. They continue to ignore the gold waiting to be mined due to either a false perception or a lack of understanding. Let's look at a few of the gold fields that aren't being mined despite proven growth and desire. Reading between the lines, the power of Black book readers. I went to school with Dick and Jane and Beatrice Potter, whom I love, but when did I ever see my picture? Never, says Joyce Dickens. An African American and managing editor of New Hope Publishers say you had a tense for blueberry, you have a taste for blueberry lemonade. And you waited years and years for someone to make it. And then finally someone did. And you tasted. You wouldn't be able to get enough of it. And you'd tell all your friends it's pent up demand. One of the most perpetrating and long-standing myths about Black folks is if you want to hide something in the Black community, put it in a book. Unfortunately, both Blacks and non-Blacks take this myth to heart. For years, fiction that featured Black characters was nearly an underground phenomenon, limited only to Black communities. Then, Terry McMillan, who was popular among Black women, but not as well known in mainstream readers, became famous when two of her novels, Waiting to Exhale and How Stella Got Her Groove Back, became blockbuster movies. Importantly, MacMillan's success demonstrated to the publishing world that there was a market for Black fiction. But before Exhale and Stella, demand for African American books was on the rise, but unnoticed by mainstream publishers. Between 1992 and 2000, sales doubled, and there was a 14.8% increase in purchases after Exhale in 1995. Sales continue to rise. These book buyers tend to be mostly females, aged 18 to 55, who buy books for themselves, for their children, and as gifts for others. Particularly, they want books that speak to their life experiences. Thus, the growing Black interest in Black books has fueled growth in niches, books, Black Book Club, as well as relevant businesses and publications. In 1999, Doubleday Direct launched Black Expressions, promoting books for and by African Americans. It boosted that 40,000 members had joined in less than 6 months. By 2008, Carol McKee, Black Expressions editor-in-chief, announced that the online retailer and direct market of general interest and specialty book club for Black readers has more than 350,000 members, 95% of whom are African American women. With over 9,000 unique visitors per month, the African American Literature Book Club, AALBC.com, is a massive site that is not a club, but a widely organized source of authors' profiles, book recommendations, intriguing online discussion boards, writers' resources, articles, and critical reviews of book by and of African Americans. North Param, a website dedicated to books by and about Black people, was formed with an eye toward philanthropy. Its goal is to get a book in the hand of every child in the Black community who doesn't have one. North Param partners with non-profit organizations in the United States and abroad to find children who do not have access to new books and donate new books to a child in need for every book sold on its site. Then there's Pamperi. This successful book publicity coach targeting Black authors, particularly Black Christian authors, and is relentless about promoting her authors and her business via a variety of media. Perry has tapped into a niche that big business and large publishers ignore, and what a mother lode she has found. Perry, throughout her company, Ministering Marketing Solutions, uses social media, online radio and TV platform blogs and videos to connect with more than 500,000 people, which includes authors and their audiences. If you are on her email list, you're going hear from her at least once a week with some big announcement or get some free useful information. I don't dare remove her because I'm afraid I might miss something important, and I would. According to Publishers Weekly, African American Christian fiction exploded into the publishing scene since 1997 when former literary agent Denise Stinson launched Walk Worthy Press based on her own desire to read stories she couldn't find anywhere else, namely fiction featuring African-American characters who encountered real-world struggling and triumphs with a righteous twist. I have a caller, and I'm going to go to that caller to see whether they have a contribution and if they are indeed reading this book as well. So you can just let me know, caller, if you have something to add. Good morning, caller. Your first three digits are 208. Would you state your name and where you're calling from, please?
Oh, yes. Good morning, Daphne. My name is Salahuddin from New York City, despite the area code.
I'm sorry, I can hardly hear you.
Oh, I said my name is Salahuddin from New York City.
Hi, how are you? Have you been reading the book Black Still Matters in Marketing?
No, I haven't, but I'm familiar with the issue. I've read other books that are similar.
Mm-hmm.
Organizational psychology and such, and marketing, and just, you know, quick comment. You know, as you said, you know, there's a lot of gold in the black community in this country. You know, we generate about $1 trillion per annum
yes.
in revenue. And that would make us, if we were a nation, the 12th or 14th wealthiest people on earth, despite the propaganda. You know, you have people coming here from Guyana or India or Arabs who, you know, opening, you know, gas stations, dollar stores. You know, we thought there wasn't any wealth or any gold to be mined in the hood, but people are becoming rich by opening up these stores and businesses in the black community. So
mm-hmm.
why shouldn't the black people themselves capitalize on it? Because that's basically what wealth is acquired is, you know, transfer wealth comes from going primarily getting money from another community. As you said, about a niche, whatever that niche may be. Some people, you know, it was rap music and so forth, but there are a
mm-hmm.
lot of other items that we in the black community buy, different kinds of foods, different kinds of products,
mm-hmm.
different kinds of, if you will, that if we were to you know, focus on those, that market, we could
mm-hmm.
corner the market and firstly have no competition in that
mm-hmm.
market and make a killing. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you say your name was Walter?
No, Salahuddin. You can call me Sal.
Okay, Salahuddin, call me Sal. You know, I want you to continue with the discussion, but I like something that you just said, because a few months ago I heard the brilliant Simon T. Bailey made a comment by saying, we in America, we are complaining about recession. And if we look around, we will see that everybody else is buying up America from under our noses.
Exactly.
And that is so powerful. And you have just pointed that out. And we are not pointing out these different ethnic groups and these different countries that they come here from. But we are just saying they are not sitting around complaining. They are making things happen. And I have learned from a couple of people I network with, a lot of these other ethnic groups, they pool their financial resources to help each other out. And that's how they build. You talk about the gas stations being open. You talk about the restaurants being open in our community. Are you African-American?
Yes.
Okay. You know, I came here from Jamaica, and there is so much going on, and I know that people tend to give us a labeling that we come here and we do 30, 40 different jobs. However, there's a lot of opportunities and we don't want to miss any. And this is why I am so thankful to my friend Pepper Miller for putting this book together. Because we need to wake up and smell the coffee. You know, for too long we've been sitting on the sideline and pointing fingers and blaming the government. And listen, man, whichever government is in power, we still need to do our part. And
Go ahead. You heard of Powernomics and Dr. Claude Anderson. You know, the fact is, you know, like in Detroit, for example, you know, they have minority set-asides where the black people, the majority in Detroit, Mm-hmm. But still, virtually all the gas stations are owned by the Arabs. So we're not pointing out, but we have to admit that there is certain discrimination against African Americans that's ongoing in the society. But what we're saying, what I'm saying, is that there's a way to get around it. If that's going to be there, that's the common denominator. But mm-hmm. we can perhaps get around it by mm-hmm. doing certain things. When under pressure, mm-hmm. it's not about being hedonistic and squandering the money. The goal is not necessarily to become rich. A lot of I know some Chinese people own stores. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these people who have opened up businesses here are getting money from their country of origin. They're not necessarily getting financing from the United States. They're getting financing from the country of origin. So that
exactly, exactly. Yeah. That's what I was pointing out before.
Right.
If you and I would put our prejudices apart, because you know something? A lot of the prejudices that we are experiencing is from each other. It's not from the Arab, it's not from the Chinese, it's not from the white person. It's from each other because we don't trust each other. And we don't want to do things to lift each other up. So if I would put my $5 with your $10 and somebody else would come and put theirs 10 and 20 together and we would put it in the pot and we would say, well, here is what we can start together and build from here. Before you know this thing could snowball, you know, but majority of the people are looking for a quick fix. I remember a few years ago when I used to live in New York, and I don't know whether or not you are familiar with a time, I don't remember the years exactly, when they used to have a thing called the pyramid.
Yes, I remember, yes.
Oh, you remember how people in some community on certain days, you couldn't drive through there because there were so many people that would block the roads and so many vehicles, because every week they would move to each other's homes to do these gatherings. And based on what I have been told by many people, a lot of money was taken from people. Can you imagine if we would come together with that same consciousness to do something that is well organized and legal? Can you imagine the power we would have?
Well, it's relatively easy. You said it. Well, there are some, like, you know, actually that were scams, and I think the pyramid, for some people, they used it as a scam.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not relatively easy to establish a savings and loan in the community,
yep.
if you have enough investors, and that's probably the best way to go, a savings or a credit union. You don't
mm-hmm.
have to do that through a business or a company. Or,
right.
You know, so a lot of people seek to be employees because it's really the easier way to go, but for some people. But it's actually, I think, for me, the life of dignity, the best way to go is to have your own business. What I'm saying about the Chinese, some of the people that I know have businesses in my community, I live in Far Rockaway. They're
mm-hmm.
not really rich. And you talk to them, they say they're not really making a lot of money, but
mm-hmm.
they don't have to worry about, you know, a curriculum vitae or a
mm-hmm.
resume. They don't have to worry about people hiring them. You know,
that's
they
right.
make their own way. And that's the most important thing. But there is a fact we have to understand, too, that because of this is a competitive society,
mm-hmm.
and because these groups, even though we say it's not about groups, when in actuality it is, because these people are working together as a group. The Chinese work as a group. The
mm-hmm.
Arabs work as a group. That's why you see a pattern of, you know, a lot of Arab bodegas, a lot of Dominican bodegas. They do function as an ethnic group. Now we have to establish an identity. See, the black community is very diverse of, you know,
mm-hmm.
blacks who are locals and blacks who are immigrants. So it behooves us, because that isn't racism. Racism is oppressing other people. And this is, you know, Dr. Claude Anderson pointed that out, you know,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. economics. What
mm-hmm.
we want to do is establish these are our communities to prevent other people. I'm sure you're familiar with the fact that 95% of virtually everything that we have goes directly out of our community. Other groups, you have 10, 12, 20 times it turnover of the revenue before
mm-hmm.
it leaves the community. Ours goes almost directly out of the community. So the black community is functioning at a trade deficit with everyone else. People say that the black community is a burden here. That's a myth. The black community
That's
is making
right.
people rich.
Just,
They're making it, people rich.
That's yeah. right. Did are you a business owner?
Oh, I used to have a taxi business. Now I just drive a taxi. But, you know, my business that I was in, I had several taxis. As you mm-hmm. said, I mean, after you've gone and had a business of your own, you never want to go back to working for anybody else. I'm sure you can identify. You never want to go back to working for anyone else.
That's right. You can't. You can't go back. And people don't understand. Did I hear you say you live in the Far Rockaway area?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
You know something? I want to invite you. There I hope you have tonight free. There is a gathering that has just, as a matter of fact, this is going to be the third week that is being put on by a phenomenal young woman in Queens. I don't know if you know her, Lady Simone. She's an author. She's a journalist and she's a minister.
Mm-hmm.
And she has put a gathering together, Millionaire Minds.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to invite you as my guest tonight. The meeting takes place from 6:30 to 8:30. And it is in South Ozone Park at it's 100, I think it's 107-52 Sutphin Boulevard. It takes place in the Sean Elijah Bell Community Center.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to have you visit with us and see if that is something that you think can add value to you and if you can add value to that gathering.
You're so kind. This is your spirit, you know, of inclusion and working together. This is really what we need. You're really a sweetheart. But, you know, I'm actually at work now. I'm driving. But
yes.
You have my number. You see my number, and I don't know, please call me because, you know, I don't know how long I'm going to work. I'm actually at work, so I just took a stop. You know, I have the internet on my cell phone.
Yeah.
But, so please, you know, call me, and I'm going to get back to work here. And I really appreciated this dialogue, and I'm very enthused. Actually, do you know Scudder? There's a gentleman named, I forget his first name. I spoke to him. He's out here in Rockaway.
No, I live in Connecticut, you know. I just come down for the meeting.
Oh, okay.
Because I like what the young woman is doing and putting together. And I said, listen, I am all for going and moving ahead. Can you spell your name for me, please?
Oh, just you can just call me Sal, S-A-L. S is a Sam,
Sal. Okay.
Yeah, Sal. So,
well, listen.
And you're Daphne, right? Daphne.
Yes,
yes.
Yeah, if you can swing by, I know you're driving and everything, but it's not until 6:30. So if you can swing by and come and show your face and see, because I think you have a lot of knowledge that can add benefit and value to what we're doing.
Oh, you're so kind. God bless you, ma'am.
By the way,
which parish do you come from in Jamaica?
I'm from Westmoreland.
Oh, okay. I forgot which one. Which one does Marcus Mosiah Garvey come from? I forget.
I think he is from St. Anne.
Oh yeah, right. And also Bob Marley comes from there too. I think, right?
Yes. Yes.
All
okay,
right, man. You're a sweetheart. It's such a great pleasure. Really, God bless you.
God bless you, Sal, and thanks for taking the time to call into my show, and I hope you can make
Thank
the
you.
Meeting later on.
Thank you. You're a sweetheart.
Thank
God bless you.
God
Bye.
Bless you. Have a blessed day, Sal. Thank you,
you
so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You know, it's just an encouragement to see that somebody has taken time out of their work schedule to call in. And I appreciate that because a lot of times you're doing what you're doing and you don't know how many people you're reaching. But to hear someone, you know, took time out and to call in, that is really, really good. So I want to continue here from Black Still Matters in Marketing. According to Publishers Weekly, African-American Christian fiction exploded into the publishing scene in 1997 when former literary agent Denise Stenson launched Walk Worthy Press based on her own desire to read stories she couldn't find anywhere else, namely fiction featuring African-American characters who encountered real world struggles and triumphs with a religious twist. Benefiting from all these efforts are Black Book published Black Club members like Gwen Kelly, Angie Powell. They are two of thousands of active Black Book Club members across the United States. Although both are very busy, Gwen took the time to start an online book club via Facebook, and Angie flies from Chicago to Dallas once per quarter to participate in her book club gathering. One big problem, Black authors want their books in Black bookstores, be it brick or mortar or online, but mainstream publishers aren't aware of these retailers, says Barbara Kinsey, president of Kinsey and Kinsey Communications, a public relations firm in Chicago. The other challenge is getting publishers to understand the different niche segments of Black readers and the opportunities to reach them. Kinsey further explained, one of my authors, Dr. Lawrence Jackson, wrote The Indignant Generation, a narrative history of the neglected but essential history of African-American writers and critics between the Harlem Renaissance in 1934 and the Civil War in 1960. The book is priced at $35. The publisher squabbled a bit when it learned that Kinsey, the author, wanted to take the book to the Black community. The price tag and topic will never sell, they told us, said Kinsey. We know our audience, and we schedule a book signing and sold out every time. Tapping into Black America book reading and book retail interest is another way to connect with them in a culturally relevant way. Marketers should consider partaking with online African American booksellers and resource via advertisement, coupons, sales, and product sampling. Aligning with these high traffic businesses with desirable audience demons would be beneficial to companies and organizations that are seeking to establish a credible relationship with Black Americans. Avid Black readers are one of many opportunities waiting to be properly mined by marketers. But until marketers can recognize and understand the treasure that Black consumers represent, these fields will remain untapped. Black people love their rides. The title above Multicultural Classic Blog, multiculturalclassicblogspot.com, has never been more true. For those people next to the purchase of a home, automobiles are the biggest, most important purchase in their lives, in their lifetime. Americans in general have a unique affinity for automobiles. muscle cars, convertible, off-road vehicle, sports car, luxury sedan, and so forth. A lot of how African Americans want to be viewed is reflected in the types of vehicles they drive. In the African American community, this feeling is even stronger. For many, automobiles often serve as a badge value in that they are a means of creating or confirming how they want to be perceived. Although there are plenty of songs about cars in all types of African music and excerpts from Will Smith's 1990 summertime hits encapsulate badge value and how many African American feels about their cars. Then 6 o'clock rolls around. You just finish wiping your car down. It's time to cruise, so you head to the summertime hangout. It looks like a car show. Everybody come looking real fine. Fresh from the barbershop or fly from the beauty salon. Every moment fronting and maxing, chilling in the car they spend all day waxing. Leaning to the side, but you can't speed though, 2 miles an hour, so everybody see you. According to findings from Strategic Vision African American Automotive Study, African American shows a distinctive emotional profile on key aspects of the super values, security, freedom, esteem, and balance that make up the experience owners have with their vehicles. While badge value is not the only reason for purchasing a specific vehicle, for many African Americans, it is one of the stronger factors. How and why this happens? You can only speculate, but stepping out into the world in brown skin means going up against negative stereotypes. And possibly, for African American, a vehicle is one of the mechanisms for combating the negative perceptions, or it can be a means of self-expression. Whatever the reason, this is an important cultural insight that continues to be ignored or tossed to the side. Has been there, done that trivia. However, if automobile manufacturers had been there and done that, they would still be doing it. The numbers for automobile sales in African American community are hard to ignore. In 2010, in the midst of the economic downturn, the African-American market value was 68.6% greater than the non-economic market, or 10 times greater than general market within the time period. According to L.R. Polk, a premier provider for automotive information and marketing solutions, the Polk study also revealed that in 2010, the top five brands accounted for 60% of the African American market, each with more than a 10% share. Toyota leads up the 10 brands with 15% share, followed by Ford, 11.7%, and then Chevrolet, 11.4%. These brands that enjoy double-digit market share with black consumers also invest in the black consumer market. With the U.S. population growing faster in the African-American segment than others, there's a significant opportunity for automotive manufacturers and dealers to begin to align their market initiatives toward this specific audience, said Mark Bland, product strategist at Polk, following our successful programs from the top two, Toyota and Ford. Toyota, Borrell Communications has had the Toyota business since 2004. Its work has primarily been with cars, but recently they pick up a RV8 Toyota smaller SUV. Borrell's VP and Associate Director of Account Planning, Kevin Bockrenbaugh, had a lot to say about Toyota's successful relationship with the African-American community. Mr. Bockrenbaugh's answer were so thoughtful that I felt it best to print his response to the interview as he presented them to me. That interview follows. Miller, what makes Toyota number one with black versus others? Bockrenbaugh, there's a quote that I think sums up what makes Toyota successful with blacks. We are attracted to what reminds us of ourselves. Powerful. That comes from Dan Hill's book, An Emotional Effective Advertising, about face. Kagan Page, 2010. But I think it captures the essence of the relationship between Toyota and its African-American consumers. When black consumers think of Toyota, they use the same words they use to describe themselves: dependable, reliable, hardworking, smart, stylish. But in understated way, more than meets the eye, surprising, you think you know me, but you don't. I think that in life, you look at a person's track record. When you pick someone out to be your friend, you pick a person that shares your values and approaches life the same way you do. I think the same is true for the products we buy. We buy products that share our values. Our products tell a lot about us. And driving a Toyota says that I'm a person you can depend on and one that makes smart decisions. I also think that we enter into relationships with the products we buy. We want them to be reliable and drama-free. We rush to tell our friends when our favorite product do things that surprise and delight us. You hear that about both Toyota and Lexus. It's the commitment to getting the little things right that keeps you coming back. There are a lot of good-looking cars on the road. but they don't have Toyota track record. You don't hear stories of people buying Toyota and being disappointed with them like you do with other manufacturers. Blacks trust Toyota, and trust is a very precious thing in the Black community. It has to be earned. Miller, how did Burnell, if at all, play a part in this? What ad messages worked well with the Black community, and what, in particular, make them effective? Broken Bow, in the world of marketing, everybody concerned about ROI, return on investment. The manufacturer is thinking about it. The dealer is thinking about it. Even the buyer of the car is thinking about it. But I think Tom Burrell started this shop with a different definition of return on investment. For us, return on investment stands for realism, optimism, and insight. I think there's a commitment at Burrell to show realistic portrayals of African Americans. It starts with our researchers working with Toyota Research Department to make sure we know who we are talking to and what we get, and that we get the motivation right and we get the message right. An example is the new work we have done on Toyota's Prius Hybrid. We've never done any ads for Prius before. So Toyota let us go out and do a lot of exploratory research to find out what people knew and, more importantly, didn't know about hybrid cars. Blacks love the gas mileage, but of their biggest concern was, what will my friends think of me if I buy a Prius? So we built an ad that has a couple preparing to go to a college homecoming, a place where they are sure to be seeing lots of friends. And they get to the rental company, and the car they are given is a Prius. The driver, a Black man, immediately shows the same worry he heard in our research. He's worried about what people will think about him if he pulls up in a Prius. That's the R in our ROI formula, focusing on the real. But his wife demonstrates the O in our ROI formula, optimism. She thinks it will be fine. I think it's cute. And encourages him to get in and experience it for himself versus worrying about what other people will think. And that leads us to the I in our ROI formula, insight. The key problem for Prius was that it was unfamiliar. So how do you sell the unfamiliar? You sell the unfamiliar with the familiar, family, friends, and personal experience. His wife invites the driver, her husband, and indeed, all of us to give Prius a try. It's a rental, so he basically getting an extended test drive. He gets a familiarize himself with the car without any pressure of a salesman. At the college homecoming, We see a friend climbing inside the Prius and also checking it out. The driver's wife likes it. He likes it. The friend likes it. Sold. Hey, we are getting one of these. Miller, are there any targeted companies that help increase sales or are there any targeted campaigns that help increase sales or awareness of the particular Toyota vehicle? Brockenbow, the Paris campaign I just mentioned has generated a 97% increase in sales versus a year ago, YAG, among African-American buyers. It's also growing at a faster rate than total market sales of Paris, which are up 77%. We also have a brand experience, the Toyota Green Initiative, happening on Black college campuses, designed to further educate the Black community on how to live green. Many of our Black leaders come out of historic Black colleges and universities, and those students are active in leading change in the communities. They are home. We wanted to give them the tools to get their friends and families go green. Miller, any Black insights relate to Toyota that you can share? Brockenbow, we have to sell the sheet metal, but it's also important to celebrate the driver. I think that's particularly true with Black customers. You want to go give them good information about the vehicle, but always portray the driver as being smart enough to make his own or her own decision. I also think you have to be sensitive to the images you portray on the screen. We show a husband and wife. We don't show a Black woman bossing around her man. And we don't show a Black man unwilling to listen to his wife. We show the impact that family and friends have on the buying decision, but the driver in the position of making his own mind. It may not seem important from the outside looking in, but you think of this culture's history as slaves. Blacks are very sensitive to having someone else make decisions for them, especially Black men. And we don't show the Black man as the butt of the joke like you see in so many other ads. Today, we show him as smart and caring, and viewers can infer that Toyota is the same way. Miller, what is it about Burrell's Toyota campaign that resonates with African Americans? Familiarity mixed with surprise. Comments like, yeah, that's me. I would definitely see myself doing that. I have a family member who acts or talks just like that. We show both familiarity situation and familiarity characters in our way that feels real, but still feels fresh. That sounds simple, but it's not. Familiar can sometimes lead to, I've seen that before. Whatever you serve up has to be both casually relevant and creatively engaging, so you have got to put a spin on the familiar so that it feels well. You have been successful in showing Toyota's product in ways that make Black consumers think differently about Toyota while showing the Black driver as a hero. For example, we got strong response from Black men in the Men to a Camry line, an ad directed at a Black woman. It delighted the many roles Black women play, executives, housewives, and girls having a night in the town. The ad spoke to the safety enhancement in Camry. Camry had a line that says, "Even heroes need protection." Black men liked the fact that Toyota would salute their woman that way, and that Camry campaign beats its sales goal by 22%, and awareness for Camry among Black women rose by 17%. Ford, the all-in campaign. Ford has been a long-term relationship with Black community and continues to put out all the stops to connect with them. Its targeted efforts are paying off. In 2010, Ford launched the all-in campaign, which showcased the high-ranking African-American executives at Ford. Through print, radio, and digital executions, and a series of web videos, these executives discuss Ford's successful turnaround plan via its respective leadership positions in the area and quality, technology and environmental, and community relations. All In has been very successful in helping Ford effectively connect with the Black community, says Mark Perry, Group Account Director at the Uni World Group, the ethnic agency for Ford. Ford cares about African American community and understands the importance of balancing the landscape, both in and outside of Ford, with positive African American images. So the big turnaround stories lead were by their executive. This approach helped African American fell in genuine connection to the brand Perry ad. Fiesta Movement. Uniworld created a casting call event where five of the most uniquely stylish individuals appear in a national advertisement for the 2011 Fiesta. To promote this event and the Fiesta Uniworld Create, the Fiesta Movement social media initiative, it generated huge buzz with more than 6.2 million YouTube viewers, more than 750,000 Flickr views, and nearly 4 million Twitter impressions. Most importantly, more than 100,000 people expressed an early interest in the 2011 Ford Fiesta. Celebrity endorsement matters. Consumers often claim during focus group that celebrities don't matter, but that is during a focus group where people can sometimes craft their response to match what they think is the correct answer instead of answering honestly. However, away from the focus groups in homes across America, the right celebrity matters a lot. The right celebrities can attract attention to the brand, increase awareness, and if really good, motivates consumers towards purchasing consideration. Autoblog.com ranks Crazy Kevin's Ford Explosion commercial featuring Kevin Hart, a B, but Hart, and African-American comedian and actor who has starred in several films, including Scary Movie sequel Little Flockers and The 40-Year-Old Virgin, has amazing social media exposure and connection. He has a million plus followers on Twitter, nearly 5,000 Facebook friends, a million of viewers who have checked up and stand up routines on YouTube, all of which earns him an A as an influential celebrity for the Ford brand. Uniworld Crazy Kevin campaign consists of TV ads, print, radio, and digital executions, and features Hart showing up late for his brother's wedding in a 2011 Ford Explorer. The campaign engages its audience with Hart's wild comedy antics. As he hits key product feature hard, like the unique Terian management system and rare inflatable seat belts. In fact, some among Crazy Kevin's 45,000 YouTube viewers admit to buying and wanting to buy the 2011 Explorer as a result of this ad. The campaign debuted on BET and ran on TV One and was so successful that it was expanding a general market audience as well as including the 2011 NBA All-Star Game. Yes, we still have 15 minutes remaining where we can get your involvement. Dial 646-915-8166. And this is the discussion of Black Steel Matters in Marketing. Black Steel Matters in Marketing. We have to be inclusive. We are a niche marketer. In many ways, African American is an important part of that too. It's something that I think we have to take a serious look at, and not just lip service. But that's going to help us grow. Tim Mahoney, EVP and Chief Product and Marketing Officer for Volkswagen of America at the Rainbow Push 2012 Global Automotive Summit in Detroit, October 2011. Top automotive brands, Buick, Hyundai, Kia, Cadillac, GMC, and Infiniti are doing extremely well with African-American market. With the exception of Cadillac, all grow faster in 2010 within the African-American market versus the overall market. Buick and Hyundai led with large gains in new car registration in the African-American market. In 2010, Buick was up 72.2% and Hyundai registered increase 53.2% over 2009 registrations. According to Diversity Affluences, luxury sedans are the most common current and future vehicle types preferred by African Americans. In fact, those who own mid-range and economic vehicle are looking to trade up in their next purchase or lease to a more prestigious option. The top 10 automotive brands according to African American car buyers. Toyota, 15%. Number one. Ford, 11.7. Number two. Chevrolet, 11.4. Number three. Honda, 11.3. Number four. Nissan, 10.2. Number five. Hyundai, 5.6. Number six. Kia, 4.2, number 7, Dodge, 4%, number 8, GMC, 2.8, and Volkswagen, 2.2%. Travel African Americans getting out and seeing the world. When you are black and venture somewhere exotic, there is also a deeper feeling of accomplishment, and the experience is all the richer when you share it with folks that come from a similar background. You can't help but have an incredible feeling of euphoria for how far you had come to get to this point. Jesse Jones, founder of Black National Box Scuba Divers. So this is a powerful book. I encourage you to get the book. You know, Black still matters in the market. And we as entrepreneurs, we need to make a commitment to cash in. We are not going to, well, a matter of fact, I am not going to be leaving any goal on mine. I am tapping into that which is available. So I'm not going to be going around and complaining. I'm looking to collaborate and partner with as many people who are eager to achieve and accomplish greatness just like I am doing. I encourage you to join me on Sunday evening at 7 p.m. when we are going to be talking about effective relationship and intimacy. And remember, I encourage you to join me on Facebook, also on Twitter. And I am praying that by next Wednesday, my new blog will be live, where I can introduce you to go into and just tap into some of the things that I am doing. I'm excited about that. And yes, I'm also looking for a producer. So if you are interested in what I am doing here, I ask that you send me a message. I'm looking for a producer to work with me on this show. And also, if you're in the Westchester Putnam area, of New York are Brewster, Pauling, or in Connecticut, we are looking for some wonderful, committed volunteers who will help me with the radio show. You don't need to be at every taping. If you can do once or twice a month, that would be great. So, you know, we are looking for great people to help us out, both in on the A New Day radio show and the A New Day TV show, which takes place in Danbury. I do my taping at the Comcast, and we are up in Cromwell, we are in Bridgeport, we are in St. Louis, Missouri, and we are also in Danbury and Newtown. So if you would be interested in having my shows in your neck of the woods, send me a message and I will discuss with you what it takes for that to happen. Again, I greatly appreciate you. I look forward to getting your support and your contributions and donations to all the projects that I am doing. Mark this show favorite and make sure you become a friend. This way, you will be kept informed of all the amazing things that we are doing. And if you have a story, if you're an entrepreneur and you have a story of empowerment that you see is educating, it is inspiring, it keeps people informed, and the end result, it will empower them. I need to hear from you because I would love to be in conversation with you. Remember, you have the ability to achieve all that you set your heart to. There is nothing that is preventing your success other than you standing in your own way. So remember, we mentioned about writing it down and make it happen. And we spoke about cleaning out your closets and all of that. And that's for me as well. So we all have to go in there, and then we are going to come together. And we will be sharing all the things that we have gotten as a result of releasing and letting go all of the things that is not working for us. So, you know, there is so much out there for us as entrepreneurs. However, we must change a lot of things. We cannot continue to be lone rangers because it simply means it's going to take us too long to get the thing that we want. Too long. So we need to just reach out there, swallow our pride, and collaborate with someone that can help us shorten the learning curve. We must begin to love, respect, and trust each other, because together we can do more than we can do solo. So put all your fear behind, be bold, step up, and start to trust one person, then another, then another. And before you know that, you will have a great team alongside you. I tell you, last night I was in Bridgeport at the CLTI graduation, which is a group of children who goes through the Children Leadership Training Institute. And tears came to my eyes when I saw all those little people standing up and giving their speeches and saying that they're leaders. So I want to applaud and also to congratulate Gina LeBron Simpson and Donna Thompson Bennett and all the other teachers of the CLTI Training Institute in Bridgeport for doing such a phenomenal job with those children. It brought tears to my eyes last night. It was actually my first experience in witnessing one of those graduations, because although I have been a part of the Parent Leadership Training Institute, not all the sites have the CLTI, but I tell you, it was not only a transforming experience, it was extremely empowering to me. And I am so grateful of all of you for supporting. I'm thankful for Sal, who called in and to share his experience on this show. And I hope that he will make it to that gathering down there at 10752 Sutphin Boulevard at 6:30 every Wednesday at the Sean Elijah Bella Community Center. So I'll see you on Sunday and on next Wednesday. Take care.
What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
My destiny.
I know what I'm here for.
Tell me. trial that came with the slave. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with the slave. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. See the breaking of day. It's destiny.